The revolution is televised.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Card Subject to Change. We are a little late this week, but that is because AEW has moved their pay-per-view back to Sunday night. But we're here ready to talk all things Revolution. Mr. Nick Bull, how are you this evening?
Hey, I'm doing great. Welcome one and all to Card Subject to Change. So glad you're joining us here, despite the late recording and release. Stripes will not be joining us this week. Unfortunately, Chris Angle got booked out to another territory and could not make it. So he had prior obligations, and he will be joining us hopefully in our next recording next weekend for the show. But I'm glad you're here. I know you're in another time zone. I'm traveling in style. I'm traveling horseman style right now. I'm being escorted to the next town for the next show. And I called CZ. I'm like, if you got good reception, let's do this thing. And so we're a traveling road show today.
I love it. I am broadcasting directly from Bradenton, Florida. This is my last week in Florida. I'll be heading back over the weekend between Saturday and Monday. Be back up in the Quad Cities. But, you know, I'm enjoying what I can down here. I've enjoyed my time. I'm both ready and not ready to go back, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I hear you, but the weather up here has been great, and, you know, winter's almost over, and with that, we get AEW March, their pay-per-view spectacular Revolution, and I'm going to say I had my reservations before this show, the show having both an Iron Man match and a Texas Death match, and the fact that it was moved to Sunday night, and... Every AEW is like Gone with the Wind.
Yes. Long-winded craziness. Not to mention, you mentioned the Iron Man, the Texas Death. You got to include with that the casket match, or what they call the last burial match. A lot of gimmicks on this pay-per-view.
There were, but what was your... Before we get in and break down each match, CZ, what was your number one takeaway from the show? Like, the smoke cleared and everything that happened, what would you say like is like the resounding theme? Like what can you take away from this show?
Honestly, I thought the show was very, very well done. You know, I had my trepidations about a 60-minute match in today's day and age, especially an Iron Man match, but they pulled it off and they pulled it off well. I'm anxious to see who I have my pick as to who should be in the title picture next, but I'm anxious to see where they go.
It's going to be interesting. My takeaway from this, before we get into the first match here between Jungle Boy and Christian, is that
you're jumping ahead a little bit.
Were they the first match?
They were the second match.
I'm sorry, man. These days are running together. My takeaway was this: youth was served at Revolution. A message was sent. Look who won your matches. AEW may be taking a step in the right direction here, CZ, with the booking and having this younger talent start to emerge at an important time. I did jump ahead of myself, but why don't you set the table for the first match, CZ?
Absolutely, I'm happy to.
The Revolution is televised.
That first match, as you heard...
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Ricky Starks took on Chris Jericho in the opener, and I gotta say, man, Starks is looking phenomenal. And we'll talk a little bit about this later, but coming off of this match, he's got two wins over Chris Jericho. He's really riding his own. He won the right to fight MJF a couple months back, had a good match with Maxwell Jacob Friedman. Starks is definitely on the rise, and I'm just going to throw it out there. He is my pick to take on MJF as a more mainstay program here in the next coming months. That's okay. That's who I would put in the
title. Yeah, we kind of got a taste of it back with Winter is Coming, right? They had Absolutely. That match. I don't know what match, I forget what match starts one to get to that casino match or get to that match at Winter Is Coming, but I think that kind of tested the waters. It's a guy similar in size to MJF, much like Danielson was. It's a guy who can talk on the mic, much like Danielson can. We'll talk about the Iron Man match in a little bit. I don't think Starks is quite there yet, but man, he is going to take a big step, and 2023 could be like the coming out of Ricky Starks finally. And finally, he's getting some time, good feuds and matches now in AEW.
Absolutely.
Listen, I told you off air like yesterday, I'm going to do my damnedest not to do. But when I hear it, you just dabbled a little blood in the water, and now the shark smells it.
I pressed the button I had to. We got some little fresh audio on the show. One more that we'll get to later, but I don't want to spoil that. That's my favorite coming up.
No, not a problem. I like the new audio dips. I love it, but you talking about Starks. I really thought Starks shined here. This was his moment to shine. This is almost kind of like a final test, right? Where he gets pushed up the main card. Like, okay, come out here, have a feud with Jericho. Yeah, they had a really good build to this match. I can't complain about the build. Starks and Jericho had good back and forth time on the mic. Both these guys are charismatic. Good styles in wrestling. They're fun to watch. It was a good opener. I know people are ribbing Jericho. Look, he just got off that dang cruise, so he's going to look a little bloated and haggard. Give the guy some credit. I thought it was a really decent opening match. Not a five-star match by any means, a classic, but man, it got the job done, and it was enjoyable.
Well, let me throw this at you. Of the 9 matches on the card, pick a different match for the opener.
It wasn't what I had opening, but I'm glad it opened.
Yeah, I think it was right place, right time.
Oh, it was in the perfect place. I thought they would open with the next match we're going to talk about, the burial match, just because it was going to make a mess and get it out of the way. That's why I thought it. But Jericho, Ricky Starks was in that spot for a reason, and it really set the table for the night.
And here's the thing. Jericho is doing his job. He is in that position now where he needs to be putting the next generation over and helping them become better wrestlers. And he's doing a damn fine job of it.
Correct. I'm glad he did it here. I hope it continues. But Starks is that guy. I hope it can continue for him. I want to root for Ricky Starks. I want Ricky Starks to get that groundswell. You know, that we've seen other wrestlers have in the past or get in the past. I want that to continue for him, and I hope it does.
I do too. I really do. I think he has the potential to be a world champion, and sooner rather than later.
Correct.
Next on the docket, you know, we had Jungle Boy Jack Perry going against Christian Cage in the final burial match. Let's talk about this first, Nick. What kind of casket match is it without The Undertaker?
Yeah, I know. I agree. They should have ended with Taker. Listen, I know they're trying to blow off a feud, but just can't have a burial match when Dave Briscoe has just passed away not even 2 months ago. I wish there was another stipulation they could have found, however corny it may have been. But I guess it was suitable for this feud, and I think me personally, I never got invested in this feud, and I'll tell you why. When it was hot and they pulled that quickie at All Out with Christian winning a close one, that's when it was at its hottest, and they had that squash match because Christian had to go have surgery. So that feud just kind of died, right? It kind of died, and it's hard to pick that back up once you had it. You're not going to pick it right back up where it was. People have kind of moved on from there, or at least I have. If you're a friend of either, or if you're a fan, excuse me, of either one of those two, I get if that's your thing. But like to the person who didn't care one way or another, I just thought, there was one cool thing to see out of this match, I thought, the final burial before we break it down, is that Christian is, hey, the Dickie is alive and well, and Christian is the photo child for it. Wait, hey, poll question. When was the last time you wore a Dickie?
Never in my life.
Me neither. But for those of you who don't know what a Dickie is, how do you explain it? Christian wore like a black sleeveless shirt that was all one piece that went up like a collar. A Dickie is like a Dickie's like a turtleneck half shirt, right?
Yes.
Worn under clothes decoratively, so you don't have to wear a whole turtleneck if you want to. That's kind of the
best way to describe it. I couldn't have done it any better.
Okay. I just kind of do that off the top of my head, but regardless, the Dickie is alive and well with Christian. Listen, there were a lot of gimmick matches on this pay-per-view. I get it. This was the quote-unquote final burial. I'm glad they got this match out of the way early. That's how I view the match.
Yeah.
It couldn't get over quick enough for me, you know what I mean?
And here's the thing. The way that it ended, Jungle Boy got that quote-unquote killer instinct by basically disposing of Christian with a concerto. And he had a lot of reservations doing it. I wonder what this is going to do for Jack Perry's character, because you can see with that, with his remorse and reflection, you could possibly see a turn down the dark side for him. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong, and I hope that continues, because however long it took him, now that he's done that to Christian, he should never be able to, he should never have to hesitate that long again. Like,
no.
That bridge has been crossed and that bridge has been burned. There's no going back, right?
Exactly.
So his character could make an interesting, you know, turn here. Maybe, you know, a Jungle Boy that's willing to maybe go to drastic measures. I'm not saying cheating, but he's willing to. Now he's willing. He's willing to do whatever it takes. He knows what it takes now when you cross that line, and he's willing to do it.
Yes, 100%.
Is there anything more you wanted to add to this match?
The only other thing, when that casket closed on Christian and it just plummeted into the grave there, that, holy crap, that thing just dropped. It was like the Tower of Terror, only you're in a coffin.
Right. I mean, you could hear the hydraulic in it, and it was pretty cool. I mean, hey, they tried something different. I'll give them that with the casket disappearing like that, and you know, nothing supernatural or anything. And hey, it was what it was. It wasn't a bad match. I'm glad it's done.
I agree. And hopefully that puts an end to that feud, because like you said, that feud was DOA at this pay-per-view.
Yeah, it had to end here. And I mean, it's almost kind of like you took that ugly girl, you know, you told that ugly girl a month ago, hey, she asked you to dance at the dance. Yeah, I'll dance with you. And you completely forgot about it, but that ugly girl did. And she wants to dance with you now. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's your fact. Okay, I guess we got to finish it. But, yeah, that's what it felt like. Next match on the card, if I'm not mistaken, Wizard, is the AEW World Trios match. Between the champions, the Elite, versus the challengers, the House of Black. I like this match from the outset because it's a fresh matchup in the trios, correct?
Mm-hmm.
We've got contrasting, you know, personas here. We've got the over-the-top, dramatic, dark, satanic underlying theme entrance of the House of Black, and then we've got, you know, the bright and and funny and fan favorite elite, right? I mean, they, that's just how I clarify this match.
I want to talk to you about the Elite a little bit. You and I talked off air about this. I've watched a couple of Young Bucks matches that I hadn't seen before. I came up with, for all of you listening who are drinkers, Nick and I are not. But if you're a drinker, here's a new game for you. Watch a Young Bucks match or an Elite match, and every time any person hits a super kick, take a drink. Take a shot.
It'd be a super drunk party!
Now, in this match, my count, the way I counted was every time any person hit a super kick, whether it was in conjunction with another person at the same time, or whether it was singular.
Oh, you weren't just counting the Young Bucks super kicks.
No, I.
Oh, so you were counting. You were counting the house. You were counting the House of Blacks as well.
No, I was just counting the Bucks and Omega.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I just needed the clarification there. My bad.
But what I mean by that is, like, there was a time where the Elite, all three of them, hit a super kick on somebody at the same time.
Okay. Does that count as three?
Yes, those counted. That counted as three.
Okay.
My total, and I want to rewatch it to double check. My total for this match is 15. So if you're a lightweight and you're playing the drinking game, you're already under the table.
Yeah, I mean, I've been out of the drinking game for a few years now, but if I did that now, I'd probably be comatose and on life support, my goodness.
Right?
I had expectations for this match because these guys were kind of, you know, like the fresh matchup. And I'm going to be honest with you, I mean, AEW is maybe starting to figure things out, CZ. They're maybe starting to figure things out. Hey, we have to have other teams. We have to build other teams. Or our
100%.
Or our trios division or our tag division are just weak as hell. We'll talk more about that tag division when we talk about the four-way match in a few matches here. But I was at my Revolution watch party at my buddy Don's house with a few other wrestling fans, and somebody posed the question, and I gotta agree with them. AEW should never have had a tag division. They should have just had a trios division, and that would have kind of made them different from everybody else.
Oh, I can see that. That would have made an interesting twist for sure.
Therefore, you're getting six guys involved on every card, right? And you can branch off of those. But then, you know what I mean? If you're going to have a trios and a tag, I just think somebody said that. I'm like, you know what? I totally agree with you. They should have just came out with trios and never had tag team belts.
I can agree with that. That would definitely have been a unique twist on things because everywhere you see, it's tag team focus. Or both. You don't right. see a focus just on the trios.
Now, I'll tell you this. Tony Khan does have the benefit of the deep pockets and a big roster where he can have both of those. But he better start getting more teams developed to make those divisions worth the crap.
Well, let me throw this at you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you watched Zero Hour yet. I know when we
last I have not watched Zero Hour.
So how do you feel about this as a trio team? Mark Briscoe and the Lucha Brothers.
Doesn't bother me in the slightest because I'm sure they've worked several times together in Ring of Honor before. It's not like they just found three guys in the back. Okay, you're the new trios team. Those guys have worked together before. They're former, quote-unquote, you know, rivals in the ring. I know the Briscoes and the Lucha Brothers had battles, you know, in Ring of Honor. But it doesn't bother me.
And they put on a pretty good show.
I'm going to go back and watch the thing that... You know, you want to talk about Mark Briscoe, man. We're going down a different rabbit hole now. Here we go. When is ROH going to address the tag team situation?
That's a great question.
I don't know if like Mark Briscoe like gets in the tournament. They give him. I don't know if he's going to wrestle again with a tag team partner or wrestle as a single or a trios. I don't know. That's something to think about here as we approach Mania with Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor. That Ring of Honor tag team division has always been stout, regardless of who the top team is. They've always had a legit tag division, a Ring of Honor. That's something that they, in my opinion, they've always been able to hang their hat on, you know?
And here's my opinion. I hope they don't throw him with someone just for the sake of giving him a partner to drop the titles. I don't think they will, but at the same time, I can see it happening.
I mean, maybe they retire the Ring of Honor tag team belts and focus more on the six-man.
That's a distinct possibility. I would not be upset with that at all.
But who knows? I'm excited to see what happens as a wrestling fan and fans of things like that. I really liked the House of Black match. I'm not going to sit down here and break down every counter and wrist lock and kick. But I'm going to tell you this: the ending brutal and it was awesome.
It was.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. That action with the moonsault, was that right or was it Nick? I can't remember. It's been a long week, folks, and it's not even Wednesday. One of the Jacksons moonsaulted, and he got a knee to the face for his troubles.
Oh, yes.
And then two more finishes, and I just thought, wow, you know, there wasn't any mist, was there?
No mist.
You kept waiting for it, didn't you?
Yeah. It's one of their treatments.
I kept waiting for it too. I love that they didn't have that. I like this move. I stood up and clapped after this match for all six guys involved. I thought the Bucks and Omega were great in this. You've got to have somebody to chase, or you've got to have another team. You have to. It's imperative. And now the battles that these guys are going to have, you know, probably end up at Double or Nothing, I'm guessing, with the rematch and, you know, whatnot.
No, but no.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, we were talking about – we can go on to the next match after this. We were talking about Malakai Black and when he debuted in AEW and how badass that was and how he kicked Arn Anderson's head off and then they had him squash Cody like the next week. That was nuts. I'm glad that he is getting pushed to the front again. I want him to have the chance and I want him to get pushed and I hope that it works this time. But yeah,
for sure.
Props to the House of Black and the Elite. That was a really good match.
And here's the thing with Malakai Black. I completely agree. He got pushed to the moon when he was in NXT as Aleister Black. He got called up to the main roster and fizzled out. I would like to see him get the push he deserves. And I think he's on the road there with this trio's victory.
Yeah. Sorry, I totally scaled back that this week, but I had to. You kind of poked the bear there.
I did, and I shame on me for putting that in our audio mix here.
Let's hit one more match here, CZ, before we go to break. Match number four on the card. You're gonna make me guess. Okay, is it the women's triple threat match?
You are correct.
All right. I messed up the first two, but I think I should get the order of the rest, but don't quote me.
All right. I'll keep you in line, though.
Oh, you better.
So, this was a good match overall.
Yeah, I wondered something's going to happen here. You know, you thought Britt Baker was going to probably have a bigger role in the match than what she did, right?
Right.
Well, I like that. They're showcasing Jamie Hayter there, but the constant thing, like I thought House of Black was going to miss. I thought Britt Baker was going to be a bigger part of the match. I mean, that, you know, sometimes the match isn't what you're there for. The match is just part of the story, and you're getting to the end of the match and what happened afterwards. And
in a triple threat, where there are managers or partners at ringside, totally expect something to happen during the match.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
I'm glad it didn't. I'm glad anything that transpired worth noting happened afterwards.
Right, right. I think all three of these ladies, you know, had time to shine in this. I think all three of these ladies work well. Two of them have been in the WWE, so, you know, they can work on TV. And Jamie Hayter, she has that legit badass background to her on top of honing her skill as a pro wrestler.
Absolutely.
She is going to be... I'm not going to... Okay, Ronda Rousey was huge before she got to WWE. Man, but if they book her correctly, her and Britt is funny. They just have to give it time to build and burn. You know what I mean? Just build it and let it simmer and burn. But when that happens, like Jamie Hayter, okay, Batista, when he won the belt the first time, he was a star. But he really didn't become a legitimate star until later. Hayter's the champion right now. But when she is done with this whole Britt Baker thing, she is going to be a star.
I absolutely agree.
She is going to look like $1 million. Britt Baker is going to make her look like $1 million. And they are going to have another homegrown star on their hand.
And here's the thing. The way this rivalry between Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter, and Saraya is going... Saraya has Toni Storm in her corner, and now, as of Revolution, has Ruby Soho in her corner. They're going to need a third to combat this.
They are. So, who's it going to be? Time will tell. What are they calling their group? Neon Green Graffiti Paint? What are they calling their group?
That's as good a name as any.
I mean, okay, when you paint Savage yellow, you know, a yellow back is a derogatory term, calling you weak. Right. You know? What's neon paint on the belly mean? I mean, I don't know. Hopefully that gets explained. I hope so. But
maybe we'll get some answers tomorrow night on Dynamite, but I'm not holding my breath.
Sure. We're not quite halfway through the card, but but I feel we probably should take a break.
Yeah, and I think this is probably going to be the only one we take tonight, but we'll be back in just a moment.
Part of the For Frequency's Sake podcast network, you're listening to Card Subject to Change with the fabulous Freebirds of podcasting, Chris Stripes Angle, the Honorable Nick Bull, and the Wizard, CZ, bringing you the best podcast wrestling action in the Quad Cities. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check out the forfrequencysake.com for our archives and other great podcasting content.
And I believe we are back here. I apologize. I'm having trouble
with test some of the audio
on my end.
We are back. Well, no, we're back. We're back. Welcome back to Card Subject to Change here. On the For Frequency Sake Network, you are listening to the most over podcast on the network, the trio's champ of the podcasting business.
Your fabulous Freebirds of the Quad Cities. Although we are one man down tonight.
That's all right. He got booked in another territory. Sometimes that happens. And hey, this business is all about paycheck. You got to go get a paycheck somewhere. You go do it. So,
Without a doubt.
For sure. So, where are we at in the card? We're match five now, CZ?
Match number five. And I know this one is your favorite, the one you were looking forward to the most, because it's got your all-time favorite stipulation in AEW. And that would be the Texas Death Match. We've got John Moxley taking on Hangman Page.
I didn't hit my cough button there. I apologize.
That's okay.
Yeah. The stipulation. Listen, the stipulation's been so overdone in AEW in the past 2 years, okay? I guess it's better than a burial match when you look at the optics of it. However, this feud had come to this. I felt this was one of the better. I'm going to give AEW the props where props are due. I'm going to feel this is one of their better feuds that they've written over a long time. Was this Moxley Hangman thing? How it started with a legitimate knockout on TV with an accident, you know, and the building up to it, and them beating the crap out of each other. Just how we talked about Jungle Boy kind of going to the next level. Hangman Page did that here too. He actually, you know, it's like me walking around every day. The Honorable One, the Doctor, Nick Bull. And then one day I had to stop and give someone the Heimlich maneuver. I guess I'd be a changed man, just like Hangman was after this match and how he hung Moxley. That showed me he's willing to do whatever it takes, and there's no going back for him. So keep an eye on not only Jungle Boy, but Hangman Adam Page and the character progression and where this is going to take him and the attitude of his character.
And here's the thing. Page is a former AEW world champion.
Correct.
This can only do good things in getting him back into that title hunt.
No, I totally agree. This match, I guess if I'm going to complain about one thing to this pay-per-view, if you're going to have that much blood in a match, you can't have any blood the rest of the night.
Yeah, if you like
that. Am I wrong? Am I wrong in saying that?
Not at all.
This was kind of the co-headliner, right? I mean, it wasn't the main event, but probably the second biggest match on the card. Judging the guys.
You would expect to have blood in this kind of match.
Yes, you would. But my God, it looked like the opening scenes of Saving Private Ryan, just all the blood. I mean, it's...
If you guys like a lot of blood, a lot of violence...
Or a horror movie is what it looked like. I understand there's going to be Christian. He got busted open legit. A returning tag team guy got busted open legit over the eye. Those happen. And I understand there's got to be blood in this. But holy cow, I thought Moxley was going to lose too much blood to continue.
Yeah, I mean, this was a scary affair, all things considered.
Yeah.
But would you have done it any other way?
No. No, I wouldn't have. I just probably wouldn't have had as much blood later on the show.
I completely agree.
Okay. You're going to bleed. Make it special. I understand it here. Big blow-off feud. Texas death match. Going to have a little bit of blood. I get that here. I just thought it kind of, when they did the blood thing later, it just wasn't. With that
now,
much
here's the thing.
You know what I mean? They kind of repeated themselves.
They did. Very much so. Here's the thing I want to ask you. Does Moxley's loss at this pay-per-view set him up for the break that he's been wanting to take for months?
You know, one would think. I mean, you know, it's one of those things. I wonder if you don't see him on Dynamite tomorrow night, or maybe he comes out, says his piece. And this is his time where he takes off. He can take off until after Double or Nothing. Or if they want him for Double or Nothing, hey, you come back a month before so we can build it on TV, blah, 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 blah. But now's the time, right? He's not in the title picture. He just put over Hangman Page, a title contender, both former champs. It's kind of a de facto number one contender match, right?
You would have to look at it that way.
Who is the number one contender?
That's a great question. I don't know that there is one. I
know once upon a time in AEW believed in rankings, right? I don't know who their number one ranked guy is, but one would have to think Paige has to be up there and is it's got to be in line here for one of the next pay-per-views coming up. I heard a rumor about the possible main event at Double or Nothing, and it would be great. We'll talk about it at the end of the show.
All right, sounds good.
Just remind me.
So the next match on the card, we've got Wardlow against Samoa Joe for the TNT title. And, Nick, what kind of match was this?
Well, I don't know if I can hit it tonight with my voice, but this is a fight. This was one of my top three matches I was looking forward to the most. I like both these guys. I really love Joe, the king of all television.
I'll give a shout out to Stripes here. You know, this is a couple of meaty men slapping meat.
this is a Stripes kind of thing. The only way this match could have been better if Baron Corbin was in, right?
Right. That would have put it over the top, especially for Stripes.
But yes, I totally thought this match, I thought it kind of had a hard spot to fill. Okay, before I talk about this match, I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Was this crowd dead? Because it sure felt like it to me.
I'd have to say yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's tough. It's tough to sit through a long show, but I was going to give AEW some more props. I thought they did a really good job with timing out a show that had a Iron Man match in it. So you knew 1 hour was going to be completely devoted to one match. So I thought they did a really good job of how they stacked the card and how everything played out. Now, lost my train of thought there, CZ. This happens when we we recorded that. We're talking about
Joe and Wardlow.
I thought the crowd was dead during this match, which kind of took away from this match. Maybe kind of felt uneasy for these guys. I would like to go back and watch this match again.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. I started watching the whole thing, but I got sidetracked. Yesterday was an off day for me. I had a few things that I needed to do, but I had a little time, so I put on the show again just for a little bit. I didn't even get through the first match, but this is a show I intend to go back and watch all over again. It was for AEW, and for me, for AEW, it was a great show.
It was, and you got to think about all the guys and gals weren't on the show, and they still put out a good pay-per-view card. So
yeah, you say that, but there were so many people on the show. A lot of people did get a payday for this.
A lot of people did, but just kind of think about a lot of people that weren't. We can talk about that later, but they have that big roster where they can do that, and it's not really, screwing over the next guy or gal by not giving them time. They've got a big enough roster.
And obviously, throughout the match, the focus was on Powerhouse Hobbs, who is the face of the Revolution as of the Battle Royal that happened last week. Was it on Dynamite?
It was a ladder match, and it was on Dynamite. Now, did these three men, did they fight back at Full Gear?
I would have to look that up.
There was a three-way at a pay-per-view a while ago. Anyway.
It sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah, so Hobbs, Wardlow, I like it. Dude, that's going to be an interesting match. Man.
Nick, you've watched AEW a little longer than I have. Let me ask you, what is up with this silliness and the giant brass ring and the giant poker chip and... They're trying to be like Money in the Bank.
I don't mind the poker chip. In fact, I think it's kind of funny. Double or Nothing, right? Or the casino. Like, it's a casino chip. It's supposed to be kind of funny.
That one I'll give you, but the big brass ring?
Like, I would have, like, a brass ring like the size of that. And then you can carry that. And if you hit somebody with said brass ring, you know, that's part of your gimmick. Oh, you don't need brass knuckles. You don't need brass knuckles, damn it. You went and grabbed the brass ring, you know. You don't need knuckles. So
right?
I'd be like, I am not a damn lifeguard here at the over 65 senior citizen center. I'm Will frickin' Hobbs. I'm the face, you know, Revolution ladder match winner. Give me a brass ring.
What did that conversation even look like? Yo, Tony Khan, I need a big brass ring.
Yo, Tony, I'm a big badass, or I'm supposed to be a big badass. I'm out here looking like a big lifeguard. I mean, he can wear the damn brass ring. He can wear the damn brass ring around his neck, right?
Are we watching wrestling, or are we watching Baywatch?
Oh, jeez. Well, with that freaking... with that brass ring, I mean, oh my gosh, yes, get a real brass ring, okay?
Yeah.
Get a real brass ring, but I get it. They got to do something different. Everybody puts a contract up there. Do something different. Let's just modify it a little bit, and let's make it an actual brass ring, you know, and go from there.
You know, I do want to talk about the match a little bit. When have you ever seen Samoa Joe submit or be submitted by his own submission hold?
You know, I don't know if it ever happened in TNA, CZ. I can't tell you that. I don't know if it happened in Ring of Honor, but man, you think it'd have to happen somewhere along the way, right? Hasn't happened in the Samoa Joe run here in AEW Ring of Honor, which is fine. And that's what needed to be done. You had to put Wardlow over after you pretty much had to give him that win. He needed that push. Yes. Joe can still be your Ring of Honor TV champion and still run roughshod and still be doing what he's supposed to be doing over there. But yeah, they made the right decision here. I guess I was a little let down with the match. I was hoping for a better match. But maybe because I was just kind of realizing, man, this crowd isn't into it.
They got into it a little bit in the next match. Before we talk about the match, Nick, I gotta play something for you.
Okay.
Now, for those of you who don't know, that is courtesy of Danhausen. And 2 minutes to late night. It was before Billy Gunn turned on his sons and joined the claim that was recorded. But
I can't get to my cough button. Hold on. Oh, mercy. Mercy. Okay. You can only play that one time a show. You can only play that one time a show.
Okay, that's fair.
Maybe two tops. We're going to call that the Mick Foley cheap heat. That is good, my friend. Good job. Does that mean we're talking about this four-way tag team match?
We certainly are. You've got the Ass Boys, the Acclaimed, Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett, and my personal favorite team going into this, Orange Cassidy and the Amazing Danhausen, all vying for the Guns Tag Team Championships.
Did they call themselves Orangehausen? Did they have it? I forgot how they were chroma keyed at.
No, it was just Orange Cassidy and Danhausen. I was very disappointed.
Okay. Yeah, I was looking forward to this match. I love tag team matches, and hey, you got four tag teams here, and
you and I talked. Neither one of us wanted to see the Guns or the Acclaimed walk away with the titles, and both for different reasons. You had a very valid point wanting to see Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett walk away with the belts. I thought that would have been amazing, a nice twist. And it would have given them some more legitimacy. Not that they don't have that with Jeff Jarrett backing Jay Lethal. But me personally, I would have loved to see Orange and Danhausen come away with the titles just for the hilarity of Orangehausen having the tag team titles.
I understand where you're coming from, Brett. You wanted to see them win, and I would like to see Lethal and Jarrett win. But guess what? AEW was right. They were right in having the Guns retain. Here's why.
I'm not arguing.
They
killed
them. When I say they, I'm talking about AEW's writers or lack of writers. They killed the Acclaim's tag run when they had the Acclaim come out and beat everybody every single week. Batman is not Batman if he doesn't have a Joker.
That is very true.
Yeah, boys, the Guns, whatever, they are Joker to the Acclaim. They had to win this match because the Acclaimed will get over even more as chasing the belts again, okay? The Acclaimed are fine. They don't need the belts. But the Gun Boys do. They need a legitimate run. And they're going to get it because what happened at the end of this match, Steve?
Oh, well, first of all, for me, there was a lot of drama before we get to what
I'm going to do. No, that's fine. That's fine. That's what I was going to. You go ahead. You talk about this match.
I love the fact that there were two moments at least where you thought that Lethal and Jarrett and Danhausen and Cassidy, respectively, were going to win the match.
Yeah, there were some good false finishes, were there not?
There really were. But what you're talking about, the match ended, the Ass Boys come away with the titles, and here come your boys. Go ahead, Nick. Tell us about Cash Wheeler and Dax Harwood making their return to AEW television.
I mean, I didn't think it was going to happen at Revolution, knowing that they had another month left in their contract. But apparently, that was the story for the public. When the Ass Boys had that long pause and cut that promo afterwards, it just kind of like the season, you know, like the clouds parted and the sun came out. Like you kind of knew what was happening, but it was still fun. It was awesome. Now, them being back is great news for the Ass Boys because they're going to be in a feud now with the Ass Boys, and that's just only going to make the Ass Boys better. And you 100%. Might end up with like a tag team three way at Double or Nothing between FTR, the Ass Boys, and the Acclaim.
That'd be a hell of a match.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, you know, you mentioned Christian getting busted open the hard way earlier. Dax Harwood. He got busted open the hard way coming out, and he wasn't even wrestling.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was probably in the ring a full minute and a half, but my goodness, he got busted open right above the eyebrow. And if you've ever, you know, got busted open on the head or elbowed in the head, it's pretty thin skin there, easy to bleed. Yeah, he was bleeding pretty well. So I was happy to see that, obviously, as a fan of FTR. And I hope this means just better things for the tag division.
I think you're correct. I think it does. I don't think there's any way where it does not mean better things for the tag division.
Right. No, I was fine with this match. And even though I probably wanted a different team to win, the right team won. And I'm excited to see what happens next.
For sure. That brings us to the main event. The one that I was looking so forward to, because I have trepidation about this match, or I did going into it. Today's day and age, it is so hard. It is so very hard to keep the fans' attention when you have a 60-minute match.
I agree. Wrong? No, you're not wrong. It's a stipulation, obviously, and you knew coming in, they had him, MJF, working with Brian because they needed someone that was going to go out there and make him look like $1 million. And I'll give MJF credit. MJF got his ass in shape for this match. And he answered the call. He answered the challenge. And, you know, sat there and answered and wrestled and, you know, with Brian the whole time. Man, I'm not a big fan of Iron Man matches, but I thought they pulled this one off very good. I'm anxious to go back and watch this one.
I agree. I like I was saying, I had some trepidation going into this because of the 60-minute stipulation. Because I know it was, you know, my thinking is you have a 60-minute match, it's going to drag for most of that with the attention span of modern viewers. Sure, Brett and Shawn Michaels could get away with it back in the day, but AEW had a challenge. And honestly, I think they met the challenge. Yeah, what do you think?
I do too. CZ, I thought this was a really good pay-per-view. Greatest one I've ever seen? No, but definitely better than the last offering, which was Full Gear, correct?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, every match, with maybe the exception of one, you know, that second match, the final barrier one, I thought had their place on the card and delivered, and that match wasn't bad. It's just, I talked about it earlier if you want to hear my thoughts on the match. But, yeah, top to bottom, I thought it was a really good show. And like I said, there weren't, you know, there was only one women's match. I mean, there was no Jade Cargill on this show. Think about that, you know. I know Darby Allin's gone filming some stuff, but no Darby and Sting. No Swerve Keith Lee, you know, just different guys, you know. But there's such an influx of talent there that they can do that, and it's okay. So,
absolutely. I you know, props to both Brian Danielson, sorry, and MJF. This was a main event that is worth going back and watching, even if you've already watched it once. I've seen online some people saying that it is better than Brett versus Shawn. I don't know if I can go that far, but it was a damn good match.
Yeah, I guess I need to go back and watch both of them, and I can sit here and give you my honest opinion, but it's been so long I've seen Brett and Shawn.
There were so many similarities. You know, the match ended in a tie. They went into sudden death.
Correct.
I can see where the comparisons can come in. But I don't know if I can put MJF on top or above two of the greatest wrestlers in the world in the business.
Yeah. I mean, it's people probably making comparisons maybe to the last great Iron Man match they've seen or something. But I'll take a look at them, give you my honest opinion. But I thought the show was a hit. I really had a good time.
I did too.
I'm looking forward to Dynamite. I haven't watched a Dynamite in quite some time, but I'm looking forward to just kind of see where they're going to go for Double or Nothing, kind of what direction, what's the next step. So that part's going to be interesting. So, I always like looking forward to a show. I'm looking at watching a show after, you know, a big show to see that, you know, the new storylines. So,
I agree. And we're in one of the best times for wrestling, not just like WrestleMania season, where everything is on its game or beyond. Just in general, this era of wrestling is something to stand up and applaud.
It absolutely is, man. It's a fun time. My buddy Don always says it's a fun time to be a fan. I mean, it is. I mean, it's coming at us hot and heavy, and it's just going to continue to go that way as we, you know, as we are on the road to WrestleMania season and all the wrestling shows that come with it.
Oh, absolutely. And I am so glad we got a chance to watch and talk about Revolution. I think it was a great pay-per-view to go back and watch. The Revolution is televised. And as Ricky Stark said, yes, the Revolution was indeed televised.
Yeah.
But we're going to let's put a bow on this episode. Let's talk about next week, Nick. I'm super excited, and I can't wait to talk with you, and hopefully hopefully Stripes won't be booked elsewhere where he can join us. We're talking promos next week.
We're talking promos. Such an important part of the wrestling business. Not a lot of people can do it or excel at it. We're going to talk about the ones that do. We're going to talk about promos that we have, you know, found in the past to be influential or you can take something away from. And, hey, maybe we'll cut promos on each other. That's the part of the show I'm looking forward to.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is going to be a multi-part show where there's so many great promos. There's so many terrible promos. So many just promos in general we can talk about. We're going to spend about an hour and a half on it next week, I'm sure. But this won't be the only promo episode. It is for right now. But I'm looking forward to talking everything promos, whether you're a fan of the great ones, the terrible ones. I can't wait. Sorry about that. I had to hit the cough button. But that's going to wrap up tonight's show.
Oh, we thank you for coming along tonight on our review here of Revolution.
Absolutely.
AEW the other night. Hey, a couple days after, our minds are a little fried. We're in our 40s, so please bear with us. But we enjoyed the show overall, and we hope you guys did as well.
And I just want to say, you know, join the conversation with Card Subject to Change. We are on Discord. You can find us at Card Subject to Change. Chat us up there. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Look for Card Subject to Change or CSTC Podcast everywhere social media is. We will talk to you next week when we're going to doing a deep dive into promos. Thanks for tuning in tonight, and we'll see you next week.
See you then.